Wonder if we could read in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. In verse 13, 5 and 13. For everyone that partakes of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to full-grown men, who, on account of habit, have their senses exercised for distinguishing both good and evil. And back in Genesis chapter 21, verse 8, 21 and 8, and the child, that is Isaac, grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22, but Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, I will wait until the child is weaned, then will I bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said to her, do what is good in your sight, abide until thou hast weaned him. Only may the Lord fulfill his word. And the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And she took up with her, when she had weaned him, with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a flask of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord, to Shiloh. And the boy was young, and they slaughtered the bullock, and brought the boy to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by you here to pray to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. And also I have lent him to the Lord. All the days that he lives, he has lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is lifted up in the Lord. My mouth is opened wide over me, for I rejoice in thy salvation. And Psalm 131. Psalm 131. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, and in things too wonderful for me. Surely I have restrained and composed my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. My soul within me is as a weaned child. It is your hope in the Lord from henceforth and forevermore. And then, finally, into Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Luke 2 and verse 40. And here we're speaking about the Lord Jesus. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was upon him. I did just want, dearly beloved, a little bit about weaning, and it's very precious to have had brought before us the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his communion with the Father, his pathway through this scene, and clearly in the matter of weaning, he is the pattern. I'd just like to just make one little thing clear about the meeting this afternoon. Some people seem to think that I was equating being born again with the quickening. No, they are distinct matters. But here now, we are talking about another stage in growth, weaning. After the child is born, it must be weaned. And of course, it's a very blessed day for the parents when they're weaned, but particularly for the mother, of course, if the child's been breastfed. But of course, it doesn't absolve the father, because usually most dutiful fathers are making a cup of tea in the middle of the night for their beloved while she is doing the actual breastfeeding. Of course, in the case of the bottle feeding, then the father does some of that. But I'm not trying to trivialise it, I'm just saying that, you know, there is this stage we've got through. Now, in spiritual matters, dearly beloved, I don't want to try, there must be a weaning process. Perhaps Mr. Darby captured it in his hymn, didn't he? Hymn 76. Art thou wean, midgets precious, God in secret he shall teach. There unfold his hidden treasures. There unfold his hidden treasures. And, you know, part of the weaning process sometimes, you know, is to gradually give a little bit more to the child, you see. And it seems to lose its reliance on the milk, you know, give him a little bit of a chicken, and oh, they love that, don't they? And you know, gradually get it off. And you know, dear saints of God, we may have been born again and we've got eternal life and all this stuff, but you know, we may have that, but where are we living? Is Egypt's food? Is the onions and the leeks and the garlics? Things, you know, which have their root in the earth, not detached from the earth. Our soul loathed this light manna. The manna, you know, it didn't touch the ground, did it? It fell upon the dew. And the dew is one of the seven types of the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God is made living and fresh to us in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't think I'm being too fanciful in suggesting that, am I? So, dear saints of God, there's a need to be weaned in the things of this world as we develop and grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, passing on him, able to be here for him. And I would submit that the Lord Jesus is the pattern in here. It doesn't specifically say, of course, that he was weaned, but I don't think I'm being heretical in suggesting he must have been weaned, surely, as we always maintain he was a man, body, soul and spirit. And I wouldn't have thought the process of being weaned was anything that would be inconsistent with a holy child, holiness. We know he didn't, of course, have Mary's nature, but nonetheless, he was born a babe and grew up, and the weaning process must have been part of his process. And he's the pattern, isn't he? The real pattern in verse 40 here of chapter 2. The child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was upon him. I'm not so much speaking about the physical development, speaking about the spiritual development. Growing, strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, God's grace, dear saint of God, is that our pattern? Is that the way we are going, developing, going on in that way? So you see, we then, in that sort of environment and condition, we come to Psalm 131, one of that very happy set of psalms, and Psalm 130, the person's converted. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared, the person's converted. No doubt he'll be born again and all that there. He then, you see, he's coming into exercise, developmental exercise, isn't he, in Psalm 131. My heart is not haughty, and my eyes lofty, he's lost all the natural pride. Without stretching too far, I would submit, he's got the truth of the six of Romans, isn't he? He has died with Christ, Jesus died and I died with him. Buried in the grave he lay, taken up in resurrection. So he's been baptized. He sees the old man, he's owned the old man finished. That old man was finished when he was converted, but he's now owning it. That which was true of him, he's wanting that it's true to him. And so he's no longer proud, and he says, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, things beyond his comprehension. He's not dilly-dallying into the things of this world and things like that. No, he says, I've restrained and composed my soul. He's sitting before God. The saint is in that way now. He's learning from God the environment he must be in, the way he conducts himself. He says, my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul within me is as a weaned child. Yes, he's been weaned from Egypt's pleasures. He's now in the enjoyment of that immediate presence with the Lord Jesus, company of God. And then he can look out on the saints of God and take account of them. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forevermore. His heart can rise out now and take account of the people of God. Let Israel hope in the Lord. And then in First Samuel, I'd submit there might be even a little bit more progression in the weaned child. In First Samuel chapter 1, there he's brought with his mother Hannah, and she waits, and she doesn't go up right away. She waits until the child is weaned and goes up, and verse 24 of chapter 2, I'm just being suggestive, you have to meditate on these things. She took up with her, when she had weaned him, with 3 brooks. Amazing that. Quite a lot of expense that must have been. 3 brooks. Remember the burnt offering? The most expensive one would be a brook. And the peace offering, or the prosperity offering, a brook again could be offered. And even in the matter of a sin offering. So it's been suggested that she was covering all eventualities, the burnt offering, and the sin offering, the peace offering, and then one ephah of flour. We suggest here she was in the truth and enjoyment and the good of the meal offering, pathway of the Lord Jesus Christ through the sin. Every step of that pathway ascending is a sweet smelling savour. The meal offering of the fine flour. Nothing out of balance at all. Everything in perfect blend and balance. And a drink offering. There. You see a flask of wine. She went to the house of the Lord. And so the weaned person is getting on into the enjoyment of the truth of the house of the Lord. And it says in verse 25, they slaughtered the brook. Now, there's been speculation as to which one that would be, and I would suggest it's the burnt offering, isn't it? The burnt offering is the total and complete full appreciation of Lord Jesus Christ as the one who offered himself without spot to God. Glorious, glorious, blessed one. And so you see, as a result of all that, it says at the end of verse 28, he worshipped the Lord there. The weaned soul enters into the full appreciation of true worship, rendering worship to God the Father. Something you see of the development of the weaned soul. And there's a side of blessing, of course. Hannah, on that occasion, she can exult in the Lord. And verse 8 of her praise, she says, he makes them inherit a throne of glory. Throne of glory. She's in the good of it, and I've no doubt the weaned soul comes into the blessed enjoyment of the inheriting a throne of glory. And then, finally there in chapter 21, of Genesis, that very remarkable, interesting occasion. It says, Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Made a great feast. Oh, very precious thing. I believe it's still done in the Jewish communities. So Jewish colleagues told me, when the child is weaned, there's a great big celebration. And Abraham made a great feast that the day that Isaac was weaned. And I don't want to stretch it too far, but I think,
when there's that full development of the soul, weaned from Egypt's pleasures, getting on and on and into the truths of these blessed things, going along. The father is delighted, isn't he? I think Abraham here would be typical of that scene. And of course, strictly, you could even bring it down to the elders in our company. We'd be very, very pleased to give thanks and praise to God as they see young saints developing and growing in the things of God. Naturally, of course, in our own natural families, we see our own children growing and developing the things of God. We give God thanks. But we can take it assembly-wise too, can't we? To see those younger in the faith getting on. They've got the right way. It's a great thing when they've got it. They used to say about such and such one, he hinna got it. And he hasn't got it. But the sad thing was, of course, some of them, there's nothing wrong with not having it, as long as there's a desire to have it. You see? A dear brother used to say, for certain weaknesses, they hinna got it, and what's more, they dinna want it. They haven't got it, and what's more, the sad thing is they don't want it. Tragic, isn't it? But there's an even more tragic thing that's happened today, you know. There are those that had it, and wanted it, and got it, and then they've given it up. Sad. Anyway, just an aside consideration, but it's very blessed to see dear young saints developing in the things of God, growing on, getting all these exercises, making them good, and how wonderful that is. And you know, the master can outstrip the master. I was always very humbled, you know, about 1950 or so, when we used to go to the young people's meeting in Edinburgh. And A.J. Pollock, he was there, you know, giving the ministry. And he used to tell us about the headmaster at Eton, the master at Eton, classics master he was. He used to come in with his bowler hat every morning in front of his students, and he took his hat off. He says, I never know, he says, one of you might be Prime Minister of Great Britain one day. And that dear man, you know, Mr. A.J. Pollock, he says, I am taking my hat off to you young people. So someday, you know, some of you will go on for the Lord and do great things for him. Think of that. A very wonderful way he was praying. He had care and concern for the young. The desire for the young oozed out of brothers such as that. And in that environment they go on. And you see, these men have gone on with the Lord Jesus Christ for him. They live in the Bible, didn't they? It says in the Chief Men Amongst Brethren of Mr. Darby, he lived in the Bible. And I got a second-hand copy, and in the margin, the brother had written, the best place to live in the Bible. So, dearly beloved, I just wanted to leave this matter with you. You know, we're talking about childhood and things like that. But how wonderful it is to grow and develop. And surely the Lord is the pattern, isn't it? He is the one that we would have our eyes upon as we seek. And anybody who is older, we would seek to encourage the development, that there might be that full development. And there might be indeed a great feast the day that the soul is weaned and we go on praising the Lord. I just leave these little thoughts with you for your consideration, dear beloved.